Turn with me to Hebrews 10. How many were here last week? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I'm just trying to get a gauge of where I need to start. Because see, last week we talked about something that was really important, and because what we began to discover is the desire that Christ and the Father have for us, that we could be His delight. Because, see, when you know, that's not something that I really have heard a lot in church. And yet it should be the first number one calling card. To me, that should be the premier calling card of our generation. Why? So that people can begin to have an actual relationship with God that's based in truth. So they can have an actual relationship with Him that's based in something besides religion, because religion's not going to get the job done. It's only going to be by relationship that we change a generation. The 12 apostles, they had relationship with the Father. They had relationship with Jesus Christ, and it changed their generation and changed our generation. The same effect, the same power is available to us, because He didn't do anything for them that's not available to us. Ooh, that might rock our boat. But the reality is that same authority is available to us, Patricia. That same power is available to us. It's available to change and shift our generation. And we've been looking at, out of Hebrews 10, verse 22, that to draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. And we've gone over that area, because that's what led to this next thought of us being a delight in His eyes. Because as I began to hold and habitate in this thought, that my heart was sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. Now, everything that separated me from the Father is being dealt with. Everything that, as I began to recognize, He's already provided, He's sprinkled over my heart. The blood went and did its work and opened up the curtain so that I could come in. And it also is doing its work within me so that I can come freely to Him. Because it wasn't enough for Him to just open the curtain. He also needed to cleanse our heart so that we would jump in. Until he began to do the cleansing in our heart, the curtain being open doesn't affect us until we allow it. It'll be a personal work of the blood as well. And so when we allow the personal work of the blood to actually cleanse our heart and begin to deal with everything, see, because that evil spirit is not just, you know, the nastiness of Satan and all the residual that happens, but the evil is actually the labors, the annoyances, the everything, the toil. And it comes from a root word that means toil. So when I begin to understand that everything that causes me to toil to enter in is misguided, that means that all of my celebration of the Lent season shouldn't be about external observances, because that's just more toil. It means that it should be a celebration of what Christ has provided for me at the cross, what the resurrection bought for me, what the cross accomplished for me. And when I begin to celebrate those things and allow those things to have a habitation in my heart is cleansed. When I begin to recognize that as my heart is cleansed and I begin to understand, I no longer have to walk in an orphan spirit, because He's freely made His love available. See, that when we're cleansing ourselves of the evil spirit, of the evil conscience, that's an orphan spirit. Because what an orphan spirit does is it tries to perform to get into where it's supposed to be. It tries to perform to have relationship. So He's stripping away the performance aspect, and so that we can actually focus on the real deal, the real thing. Because, see, He wants to change our focus on coming to Him. If my focus on coming to Him is all about my labor, if my focus on coming to Him is all about what I do, it's focused amiss. That's the wrong target. If my focus is all about Christ and what He purchased for me, now I can stand in the assurance and agreement with the right target. When I make it about His thing, basically what the Hebrews 4 and 10 tells us, enter into His rest. That means I can let go of the things that I was trying to do that were outside of His rest. So when my focus becomes that, then it begins to shift what I see and what I perceive. All that to bring us to our first scripture. Because this is the scripture that launched me into the knowledge and the understanding of being my Father's delight. Verse 38. But my righteous shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Now, see, when I read that, there are probably certain ones of you that I'm sure it's just people on the internet, not anybody in here, where a little shiver goes down your spine because you see it as something other than what I see it as. When he says, if they shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in them. See, I see that as an invitation. It's an invitation. What we might see it as is a threat. The rod being suspended above our head, you know, the sword of Damocles. Remember all that? That's not the Father's nature. See, when we see those things, when we read those things into it, we're responding to something that's not actually the Father's nature. What He's doing here is He's giving us a clue as to how to come to Him. What He's showing us is, if you'll come to me by faith, now I can enjoy your presence. What He's saying is, if you'll come to me by faith, now I, my soul can have pleasure in you. Why? Because you give me pleasure just simply by you being here. I can tell you, just from my own perspective, when one of my sons comes home for the weekend, I have great pleasure. When they'll come and visit, I have pleasure in that. I have delight in that. And so is the Father in the same way. He looks at it as delight. It's not an interruption to His day for you to show up in front of Him. It's what He lives for. It's what He designed you for. It's what He created us for. It's His desire He spent a lot of effort to accomplish. We were created, as we saw last week, to be in the garden of His pleasure. The Garden of Eden, and the word Eden is pleasure. It's delight. We were created for His delight. And so because we were created for His delight, He's always looked to get us restored back to that position. And that's what Christ and the cross, that's what all the prophets were all about. That's what the Holy Spirit coming was all about, was to restore us to that position. Remember in John 16, verse 13, it said, speaking of Holy Spirit, it said, He teaches us to come. Erkmai, to come. To come. Why? Because basically that's the whole purpose and the whole intention is the one who comes alongside you is to usher you in to the presence of the Father. Holy Spirit comes alongside. The Spirit of truth Himself is coming alongside us to usher us in to this pleasure. To usher us into the place where we can be His delight. In the way of religion, religion is not trying to show us how to come into the presence of God. It's trying to show us how to come into it. Because if I can set you up to just come to me, you know, your dependence becomes on me, and I can benefit from that. But if I show you how to come to the Father, you become independent of me, and now you're actually able to prosper and be who you're supposed to be. But see, religion's not looking for what is your ultimate benefit. Religion is looking for what benefits it. So the focus is coming to the Father. The focus is coming to the Father is made a lot easier when we perceive the Father's intention is to delight in us. When I began to perceive the delight the Father had simply because I would show up, I can't tell you how it just changed something in me. It just reformed something for me. See, orphan issues get dealt with in the pleasure of the Father. Because why? It makes it easy to receive His love. If I understand that he's delighting himself in me, then I'm able to enter into love, and when I'm able to enter into love, then I'm able to be free from fear. Oh my. So when I see this verse, if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I recognize that it's his design and his desire to have pleasure in me. And when I recognize that, then I can recognize that all I need to do is stand in faith. And as I'm standing in faith, I'm standing in faith for the change like I saw before, like we talked about earlier. If I'm standing in faith, I'm standing in faith for a change, because anything that's in me that's not able to recognize his pleasure for me needs to be set aside. And if there wasn't any chapter here, we would recognize that when Hebrews 11:6, we said that everybody who comes to him, so without faith, it's impossible to please God. But everybody comes must recognize that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So recognizing that his purpose was to call me unto himself, his purpose was design for the cross, his design for everything that Christ went through was to give me this access to come to him. Now that I can see that, now that I can rejoice in that, I can rejoice with him. Because why? Because I know he's going to reward this place of faith. But it comes by shift of focus. In every relationship in our life, we have a choice of focus. We have a choice of focus. What are we focusing on? When I'm counseling with individuals who are particularly in marriage counseling, but in any other counseling too, the one thing that I can recognize oftentimes when they come to me, they're coming to me because they lost their focus. They either don't see God or they don't see their spouse like they used to. Or both. Usually both. Because when we quit seeing God first, then that gives us a place where we can see our spouse some other way than what God intended. We just celebrated 39 years. Thank you, baby, for keeping your focus. I didn't always have focus, but she kept focus. Awesome. Hallelujah. Don't say anything. You're not allowed anywhere near the mic today. Thank you. But our focus, see, comes when our focus is on the right thing. It's what draws us in. If our focus is on fearing God, we'll be defensive. If our focus is on a disappointment that we receive from him or our spouse or someone else that we're related to in some fashion, when our focus is on that thing, then what we'll do is we'll automatically move away. We shrink back. Because, see, fear causes us to be defensive. Every defensive mechanism that we have in our heart is born out of a place of fear. And when we interact with someone out of a place of fear, then what we really do is cause our fear to come to pass. If everything within me says Roxy's going to reject me, I begin interacting with Roxy in a way that expects her to reject me, and sooner or later, she's going to prove me right. She would never do that. But my point is if I, because I've positioned myself defensively, I'm not even seeing Roxy as she truly is, because I can't see the things where she's shown me loyalty, where she's shown me that her heart is for me, that she's shown me love in exceptional ways. I don't see those things. I lost my focus on those things because I'm busy being defending my heart from this potential rejection. And the very thing that I am trying to defend myself from is the very thing that I create because I've distance myself. And see, from over here, I can't really have relationship. Hello? Got really quiet in this Presbyterian church. 'Fortunately, I know Roxy would never do that to me. So I can engage her. I can feel free to be close, to be around her, to engage all that she, the gifting that she can be to me. In the same way, when we feel free to come to the Father, when we feel free to get close to Him, we can engage the gifting that He has already got for us. We can engage the place that He's already set aside for us. I can hear a yes or hallelujah. Because when we engage and we make a choice to engage Him, we make a choice to engage Him out of the place of a focus on who He really is. Father has more for us than we can ever imagine. But if I'm only limiting myself, if I'm limiting my exposure to Him because I'm afraid of being let down, if I'm afraid of experiencing disappointment, if I'm afraid of what might happen that's outside of my control, if I'm afraid of what could happen that's past the place of my comfortability, my comfort zone, then I never experienced the fullness of His love. Fear and love will keep you, fear will keep you out of love. In the same way, if I'm not engaging my spouse for who they really are, if I'm not engaging them in an atmosphere of love, then the things of fear will naturally set in. But God has given us a spirit after His own heart. He's given us a divine nature. See, because all those defensive mechanisms come from the old man. We don't have to engage them. That man is actually dead. Thank you. That man is dead. And so that means we can rise up with the fullness of what God has made for us. Remember, I don't know if you guys do or don't remember this, but there was an old Indian thing, a story about, you know, there was two dogs. The young boy saw two dogs, and he asked the older gentleman in the tribe, "What do these two dogs mean?" And he basically said, "Those are your two natures." He said, "You know, there's a good nature and a bad nature." And then the young man asked, "Well, which one wins?" He said, "Whichever one you feed." I'm here to tell you something even more than that. The old nature, it's dead. So unless you bring it back to life, it doesn't matter. Okay? So quit feeding it. It's already dead. Leave it dead. And let life come from the new life to the new nature. Partake of the divine nature. As we do so, it releases something into this current generation. It releases something into your path. It causes you to be able to obtain a pathway with God that wouldn't happen any other way. Because we can embrace and embrace freely. Why? Because he's desiring to be there for you. He's desiring to engage you in his place of delight. His delight. Let's see. Let me go to real quick. I'm not remember whether it was Psalms 18, 16 or 36. Let's see. Oh, Psalm 16. Verse 11. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. There are pleasures at his right hand because he's the one taking the pleasure in you. It's his delight. That means anything that I had in me that's not echoing that truth can be laid aside. That means that because there's pleasures forevermore, that means that he's always looking to engage us out of his delight. That means that when I come to his presence, I'm not going to get rejected. I'm not going to get disappointed. I'm not getting hurt. Maybe in the natural, people have done those things with you. But when it comes to our engaging the Holy Spirit, when it comes to our engaging him, then he draws us near specifically so we can release his delight. Hallelujah. He is calling out. Everything about creation is calling out. It says that the earth longs for the revealing of the sons of men. The very creation itself is calling out for those who will recognize that they are the sons of God. The whole earth itself is crying, looking for this revelation to come into the earth. Let us be the ones that answer that call. Let us be the ones that recognize the intention of his design for us. Let us come intentionally into agreement with that design so we can recognize his delight. If you practice recognizing his delight this week, I guarantee by next week you're going to there's an atmosphere that shifts in your heart. We can't carry old atmospheres into his presence. And we don't have to worry about taking it off or unpacking it ourselves. It's his desire and it's his design of his presence itself will remove those things. Because why? Because when we step into him, there's fullness of joy. So I encourage you this week. Let the fire be set by the fullness of joy. Let the fire be set because we intentionally agreed with him and allow him to show us his delight. Religion probably doesn't show you his delight, but God will. The Father longs to. He longs to release it so that we can become built in his nature. Amen. God bless you.